One hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's a Chinese book. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another night of Full Spectrum Radio. Sorry we missed you last week, but we are back in full force tonight. With me, as always, is Dennis. What's going on, brother?
Oh, well, you know, it's hump day. I don't know. I've got
sure.
To get off the caffeine, dude.
Should we finish our pre-show conversation?
Sure, I think that would be wonderful. So if anybody happened to catch it right before I was smart enough to hit mute, you will send me something about it. It's a Chinese book. We were talking about the dumbass, I'm just going to put it, some of the dumbass programs that are out, such as this Mountain Monsters or whatever, and these inbred retards. I'm not very polite, so I'll just put it straight up. Out chasing things in the woods that they have no clue. We haven't seen it. We found one footprint by the creek. Oh, my God, really? A footprint? Now he's a monoped? I thought every other vision of him and, you know, every kook and quacks video of him showed him being bipedal, but apparently not. Then, of course, Matt made the comment that, look, it has a drag line right along behind it. It must have a long tail. And what was your comment?
No, it just has a huge penis.
Yes, and of course mine. Well, that sounds like a great book. It'd have to be by that Chinese author, though, Wan Hung Lo. I don't get it. I don't get it. We have absolutely no evidence that this thing exists. Millions of trap cameras in this country everywhere. And not one really good shot of him? All right. Well, I smelled something really rancid. That must be him. No, you jackass. Maybe that's a deer that fell, broke its leg, and laid there and died. And now the sun has bloated his carcass to three times its size while the maggots eat the shell.
And, you know, like that show, along with the ghost shows, if you, I can understand a little bit more in the crypto world on searching for something that may be nocturnal, but there's plenty of damn movie clips and you know, audio and all that stuff of, I'll use Sasquatch as an example, during the day. Or they see him crossing a big field or something like that. So you're going to limit your visibility by going out at night in a forest where there are a ton of naturally documented creatures that are running around in there. Go out with a whole bunch of shotguns and try and find something. Oh, it's just over this berm. One of the other things, 95% of the time, they're just pointing their guns and freaking out. They're not actually even shooting anything. Because they can't see anything that they're going to shoot at.
It just cracks me up. He heard a rabbit fart and now he wants to, you know, rip it apart with an AK or some shit. But, hey, I don't know what the hell's going on, Matt, but anyway, tonight we have Lyle Lotz from Twisted Paranormal joining us. And I don't know, somebody must have set his clock ahead or something because he's actually on time, which for us to have a guest on time just totally freaks me out and makes me wonder what the hell's wrong. Either my watch is really slow or we actually have a guest on time. But I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. He can have some good laughs with us.
It's 8:06, brother. No, your clock's right.
Oh, well.
You didn't.
What's going on, Lyle? How
are
you doing, man?
Hey, doing good, Matt and Dennis. How are y'all tonight?
Just discussing the crap programming that seems to be infiltrating where all the semi-okay shows were.
Yeah. Yeah, I scroll past those on DirecTV anymore. You see all these crazy names, I just go on past them.
So here's what I'm in front of now is
Mountain Monsters. Have you seen this one?
Yes.
Have I seen Mountain Men?
Mountain Monsters.
Mountain Monsters. No, I don't watch any of that stuff. I don't even watch Duck Dynasty.
You should, just for the comedic factor.
Yeah.
It's actually on right now. It's on Destination America right now.
I'm up in the old TPS dungeon, so I'm not watching TV right now.
Oh, okay. So, all right, speaking of programming and, well, besides that Jackass show, remember, I'd call it even... you know, 6-8 months ago, where it's pretty much Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights, even Saturdays, sometimes Sundays, depending on the network. We were all infiltrated with paranormal shows, whether it be Discovery, Destination America, Travel Channel, Sci-Fi, all that kind of stuff. Has there not been a ridiculous decline?
There has been.
And,
I mean, it's like you can't find anything.
No, go ahead.
I said Ghost. The only thing I've seen is Ghost Hunter reruns. That's it. And then, you know, you get to see, your Ghost Adventure crew on Saturday night, but really, you know, you don't get to see those other programs like My Ghost Story and all those other things anymore. I don't know if they've done away with them or what.
Well, if you pay attention to when the normal network or network shows that all of us, you know, ghost geeks are involved in, not saying that we watch them like the Bible, but you just watch them to find out what not to do most of the time. But when, like, now it's turned, everything is UFO. Everything
yeah.
is all UFO stuff now.
UFO or Bigfoot?
Right. Who in this network starts the trend and says, you know what, they're doing this, we have to do this? And it pushes everything to the wayside, then the networks do this, that, and the other thing, and then it's like, all either UFO or Bigfoot now. And ghosts, been there, done that. Really? They can't have a marketer network testing and say, what do you guys want to watch now? So you're into Bigfoot and UFOs now. Okay. No, it doesn't work like that, like it does with sitcoms or it does with, you know, late night shows.
Right.
But, let me ask you this, Lyle. If you were to be a program director, what would you put on?
If I was a program director, if it, you know, with the way, you know, paranormal shows used to be and, you know, and the way it is right now, and it's such a big thing, I mean, I would definitely be trying to draw people to that. I mean, it's that's why I'm kind of lost as to why they've kind of went away from it. I mean, it had such popularity, and now all of a sudden they've just gone away, or the teams that are on TV are taking such long breaks. I mean, the Ghost Hunter, you know, break is really long this time. I just don't quite understand it as to why they're taking such long breaks. I mean, I listened to your show, 2 weeks ago when you had Brad on, and, you know, I really enjoyed their show. And, you know, but then they were gone in no time. You know, the good guys, it seems like they disappear.
Well, in talking with Brad, we found out why their program went by the wayside. Brad and Barry wanted it done right.
Correct.
The production company they work with wanted, well, ratings.
Yeah, they wanted it done their way.
You know, and you've been out here in the field long enough investigating enough that, you know, most of our time is spent with a thumb shoved up our ass talking to the darkness.
Yeah. Or to the plasma
ball. Not a lot of ratings in that. Yeah, or staring at a plasma ball.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, half the way home, I kept ducking purple orbs. And then it would dawn on me, well, it wasn't a purple orb. It was a burning vision of a plasma ball.
Yeah. And the fog machine.
Yeah, well, I thought it was just because I was tired.
You have to share for the people who weren't there, ergo me and everybody else listening.
Well, Dennis came out and joined us on an investigation this weekend. As you know, on your show, you've talked about his remote viewings and stuff that he does. And you know, we happened to be at the Boxwood Inn, and Dennis came up. It's the first time I got to meet Dennis. Other than talking to him on your show. And, you know, I told him, I said, I was really curious about that. I said, well, we're getting ready to go on an investigation. And he just started. I mean, so, and everything that was coming out of Dennis's mouth was just right on cue with what, where we were at, where we were going. So I had Dennis come out with us because, you know, I wanted him to have confirmation as to what he saw. And, so he got to join us this past Saturday night when we were at Mount Eagle Farm in Albemarle County, Virginia. And our last session of the night, we decided that we've been trying to work out where we wanted to do this plasma ball experiment. So what we did was we set up a fog machine down in the cellar, in one of the rooms in the cellar, and put the plasma ball in there and let it fill. And to me, I thought it's a pretty neat experiment. There's a couple things that, you know, we were just hoping to be able to see maybe something move through the fog, maybe see the plasma ball react to something, touch to it. It's just new things to try out. You know, you try to think of different things other than what's already out there. So, I don't know. I think, Dennis, did you enjoy that experiment? Or?
It was definitely different. It was some crazy energy that it created in the room.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly which millimeter you were rolling, but you know, to watch that thing peg out from nearly 10 feet away was like, what in the hell?
Yeah. You knew that thing was right now.
Are you talking about the plasma ball? Like, if you touch it, all the lightning inside the ball goes to your hand, or what?
That's correct.
Okay. I've been wanting to kind of mess with that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while, and finally this was the perfect time to be able to try it. And we thought, well, let's incorporate a little bit of fog into it too, see if we might be able to see something move through the mist along with the lighting and all that. And, you know, we didn't have any luck that night, but, you know, it's still, it's an experiment. It's a thing that we'll keep trying when we go out, and hopefully we'll have some reaction to it. So, because it definitely puts out a lot of energy, for sure.
Oh, and Dennis and I on all the shows, we go through, and if we find some kind of, you know, bullshit piece of equipment someone's trying to sell on eBay or sell on a paranormal site or whatever. What Lyle is referring to is the globe that has the center plasma dissipator, and when you touch it, all the pink lightning things go to your hand like you probably had in high school or college, or you just got stoned and watched it and was like, wow. Well, I was looking just to see, because I know you can get them anywhere. I was looking on eBay, and I just typed in ghost hunting, and I was ghost hunting or paranormal. If you type it in the search bar, and it comes up with all the stuff of what people are selling on eBay. They were, and I'm not going to say the username, which I probably should, but I'm just not a jerk like that. He was selling the exact plasma ball that you can buy at Spencer's in the mall or anything else that he put a cheap generic sticker on that had ghost tracker device, and he was selling it for $229.
Oh, my.
And it's guaranteed with a gold seal on there, guaranteed to get your results. Well, he peeled off the stupid thing by the switch and just put his own sticker on there and says, hey, this one's modified. No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not.
I haven't, you know, I actually hadn't seen any of those on a, actually, I haven't been looking for any equipment for a while. I've got all the equipment I need. You know, it's time to get down to just basic stuff now. So, but you know, we thought it was going to be a great thing, which I think it is. And I mean, I never knew that they were out there for ghost hunting, or somebody was trying to promote it that way. So,
Yeah, $229. You can go to Spencer's in your local mall or any of those kooky kind of stores and pick one up for like $49.
Right.
And you don't have to pay shipping or wait for it. And you don't have that dumbass sticker on there saying guaranteed results. Shut up.
Right, guaranteed results. We didn't have any results that night. But that won't be the last time we use it. I actually have just kind of like an old-timey little school bell, and Dennis knows what I'm talking about, that I take to every investigation that we go to. And to me, that's going to kind of be my confirmation when I hear my bell ring, if I can get something to ring it, that, you know, that'll be my confirmation. You know, I'm still a little bit of a skeptic with it, but I think that'll be what I need to hear. And actually, the other team, we had two teams that night. The other team, actually, they said that they heard it ring, so, you know, but I haven't heard it ring myself.
Hmm. Needless to say, all night long, we're walking around going, ring my bell.
It didn't happen. I wish they had it on the board, because I was going to play that. But as far as not on the board, I was like, oh, God, he's setting this up perfectly.
Good job, Dennis.
Yeah.
So besides what you didn't get, did you get anything that was a peak of interest?
Well, this was our second time out. We were actually there in January. And that night, the home had just didn't have any heat or anything in it, and it was like a 15-degree night, and it's that temperature really affected the cameras and all kinds of things that we had out there filming with. And But that night was very active. We caught a lot of very audible EVPs. This time you didn't really catch a lot of audible stuff, a lot of feelings. We discovered an area on the property that Dennis is aware of that is called the slave graveyard that really had some interesting things at it, and I know he and I and another one of our guys spent some time out there while the team was actually going through the house. So, but I'm still reviewing. I started reviewing stuff a couple nights ago watching videos. I've got a good a possible EVP off of a video. But you know how it is. You can go spend a lot of hours and only get a couple things, but I try to be real picky anymore with what we use.
And I'll be honest with you. These damn sinuses are killing me. Allergies. I have yet to even plug in. Well, I haven't even opened my gear bag after getting home, so I have not pulled out my recorders to see if I've captured anything yet. But you know as well as I do, as soon as I find anything, if I find anything, you'll get it.
Oh, I understand. I know, buddy.
But, it was a really cool place. And I guess the energies that are around there. And the one team member said that he thought he saw me standing behind the house when I was, in fact, in the basement at that point. No, we were upstairs at that point.
Right.
So when we came back out from time to change up teams inside, then he looked at me kind of funny and explained what was up. He said he saw somebody standing at the back of the house in a white shirt. No, it wasn't me. And,
yeah.
Of course, everybody else has the complimentary black shirt.
Right.
I'm the only jackass that shows up in a white shirt to an investigation.
Well, you had the black pants, though.
Right. Well, yeah, but you had those really cool white pants. So.
Well, it shows the urine better or the crap better when you get the piss and the shit scared out of you.
Yeah, but I know that was a great personal experience for one of our guys. We had one of the cars parked right behind the home itself, and we actually set up our command center outside under some canopy so we wouldn't be inside the residence. And while our team was in there investigating, he actually looked over and saw a tall figure, which Dennis is tall and skinny, and that's what he saw standing between the house and in between the car, and immediately they all got up and started going around to see if they could find, if it was just somebody that walked up on the place and nobody could find anybody. So it was a great personal experience for him. And supposedly one of the guys that passed away in the home, Doc, he was a tall, skinny man, and a lot of history with Doc there.
Yeah, Doc has a bit of attitude.
He's got, Dennis found out his attitude.
Hey, that reminds me, since we do have that one captured, go ahead and share that. Full spectrum, you can use the vulgarity and everything.
Well, you share that, Dennis. You do it better than I do.
Wait, what are you saying? I have a foul mouth to begin with?
Not that. You probably got the wording down better than I do with that one.
All right. Well, when I did my remote view, I entered... I got to the top of the steps, and the room back to my left, as it turns out, is Doc's room, and that's from his... Now, what was Debbie, like his granddaughter or great-granddaughter or something?
Yeah.
I think
it was his granddaughter.
Yeah, I couldn't remember exactly what the familial tie was, but she expressed that he was... Well, when I described the man that I encountered, she told me that I had described Doc to a T. And then I told her how I encountered him, and that was when I did my remote view. I stepped into that room, and the first thing I got was him charge across the room and tell me, get the fuck out.
That's correct.
Okay. She said that was, pretty much exactly how abrasive his personality was. So as we're all sitting around the room, got the recorders going, we've got the spirit box running, know, for those that don't know, Spirit Box just cycles through FM radio stations. It goes through them in 150 milliseconds. I believe is what you had it set on. That's what it sounded like anyway. I asked at one point, now, Doc, just for clarification, for everybody that doesn't know what you told me when I did my remote and I came here a couple of weeks ago, can you tell them what you told me? And it's silent for a couple of moments, and then you hear, get fucked. That's pretty good. I don't think the FM station up there was broadcasting the F-bomb that night. So I'm pretty convinced Doc came through the spirit box and told me to get fucked.
That's what he told you. We all heard it.
And, yeah, everybody in there, there was, what, six, five in the room? And then even once we went outside at break, you know, I plugged in my recorder that I know captured it because I was sitting real close and I had the H2 going. And I actually fast-forwarded to that, and it straight up, it told me to get fucked. So, which was really close to get the fuck out, but, yeah, I think he just basically wanted to tell me to fuck off again.
But I think get fucked is... Well, for you, Dennis, that's a term of endearment.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm just wondering why it seems like all spirits hate you. You got the one that I can't mention.
Yeah, my
name. The name of. Yeah. You got that to where that you actually get physically abused.
Yeah. He's choked me. Well, before, which actually he didn't choke me. I got choked in this room, and I have an EVP that I captured right before I started into a coughing fit and felt pressure on my throat of choke that fucker. So, yeah, and now every time I go in that room, it calls me an effort. Every single time. Yeah, I get the F-bomb a lot. I think it's because I know they're there and I can interact with them. And I think that just pisses them off.
No, I'm convinced now that it's they know you're there.
Yes.
They're like, this fucker's here. God, damn it.
I see how it is. This is how the whole show is going to go, isn't it?
No.
You just... Now, Matt.
Yeah.
You're on the board, buddy.
It's
I know.
Promotion on Skinner, or else it gets...
You know what the difference is, though, is everybody loves that. I don't care
exactly
how many times you play it.
Exactly. Fuck it. But, you know, one of the other real strange ones. Now, tell us about the tree and what we discovered on the tree, Lyle.
Oh, yeah. Dennis had shared that even before he saw the big tree in front of the home, and he kind of described right to the T where it was at. And then that was the first remote that he had done. That's when we were at the box went in. And then like this past Monday night, before this past weekend's investigation, we were chatting or messaging on Facebook, and then it was like Dennis was remoting again. And then he started telling me that, you know, that tree wasn't used for just a swing rope. He said it was used for more than that. And of course, you know, back in the day for the slave, you're thinking hanging. So he actually, you know, we found the tree, and you can see the actual thing in the tree where it had been tied off. And where probably a lot of hangings took place. And I think Dennis could tell that there was a lot that had had taken place there. So it just, I mean, he had me from the time that the box went in. I knew I had to have him at this investigation with us because he was just so spot on with everything. And, you know, and I'm glad that we met, and hopefully we've got a great friendship now. So we have, well, our team enjoyed having him out with us.
We'll definitely get together again. One of the things that I want to do is get your team to travel this way. And
right.
We will do a night at my, pretty much my team's home location.
Right.
We'll see
awesome.
If maybe I can, you know, take a break from being called the effer and let you get called an effer for the night.
Yeah. That'd be all right, buddy. I'm okay with that. They like to, I found that in our investigations that I'm the one that they like to touch quite a bit. So I don't know what it is. Everybody on my team's like, yeah, if anybody's going to get touched, it's going to be Lyle. So actually, I was feeling that out when we were out at the slave graveyard, started feeling that feeling as well. So, of course, we got more than we're going to look into there. Is that correct, Dennis?
Yeah, that one, I'm going to keep that one off there as far as what's going on about that. But,
right.
Yeah, it's the one really strange thing that I can tell about that area. I walked over, and it's really weird. As you walk along, there's the tree line. You know, you've got a whole bunch of evergreens and everything else. And then there's this one area with, like, white birch trees and just white trees in general. And Lyle and
Ike. Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to say Ivan again, and I knew it wasn't right. Had gone off in one area. They're about 30, 40 feet away, and I just got drawn to this area. And as I walk over there, I got lightheaded, dizzy. Called a couple of the girls that were there to come over and verify what I felt, asked them to step into that same area. The one's first response was, just feels like a void. Actually, it feels like I'm high. And even Lyle encountered the same energy. And this is all, you know, none of us are telling the next one into that area what we felt. And just really strange energy in that one area. And now it's, you know, even the owner admitted that it's kind of confusing stories, whether it was Indian burial ground there or slave burial ground. But, you know, nothing is marked.
Right.
But to have that really weird energy that affected all of us, only in like that, I don't know, what do you think, 10 by 10 area maybe?
Yeah, that's about right. Right in that same area, where everybody stood in that same area, it was like you had this full charge coming up through your body. But when you stepped away from it, you felt normal. But if you stepped back, you just started getting that charge again. It's like you just start with your legs and move all the way up, like it's an electrical charge shooting through you. But there was no wiring, no nothing there. Nothing was setting off any of the meters. It was just weird.
Yeah, and to have that many people affected in the same manner, in the same location without sharing, you know, like when I told the girls to come over and check it out, I didn't tell them shit.
Right.
I just said, you know, tell me if you feel anything different. Then when Lyle came up, you know, I did the same thing. I said, just come check out this area and tell me what you feel, what you think. And we all had that same energy. It was just strange. But, I don't know. Maybe there is something to, you know, the exact location where we were at, where it was, you know, Indian or slave burial ground, and just their energy is still there with us.
Right.
But it was definitely cool. That's one of the first times that I've ever experienced an area where that many people felt the same type of an energy change or shift in one exact area. Now, unfortunately, though, we never did get to the barn. Would have been really cool. We did, however, figure out that pretty much anything you need, Dennis has in his truck, up to and including rain curtain to put on the backside of your canopies.
Yeah. Ladders.
Yeah, ladders, all kinds of weird shit. Ladders are a valuable piece of paranormal investigation.
Well, it actually came in handy, though, down in that cellar room where you had a, remember you're viewing, you basically they were telling you there was a room that was basically off limits, and and you were on to it, especially when you got back into that slave room, and you found where that one piece of board was.
Yeah, and it was really weird. It's like there was about a 2-foot void that we can't. Now I got out my laser measurer and I measured rooms and I measured the hallway. I got about 2 feet of distance that I can't account for that is missing in the middle of those two rooms. I can't understand why it would be there. It makes no sense. So that was definitely a strange one.
Yeah.
And then under the front porch issue, that's a strange area too.
You know, I never got to go into the front porch with you. I think you and the owner did.
No, actually, Ike went under with me. The owner wouldn't. Yeah, the owner didn't want to go in there. She's terrified of the snakes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That I didn't see. So Ivan went with me. I kept wondering, why is he looking at me so weird when I call his name?
Yeah.
You're not calling the right name, you dumbass. Yeah, it was definitely a special night. We had some good laughs, that's for sure.
Yeah. I got a good team of people, and they work hard and they enjoy what they're doing. And we didn't really have the full team there with us, but everybody knows what to do even when people are gone. So I don't ever expect everybody to make it to everything, because we do have normal lives and families and, Tana and I are basically on call right now because our daughter's getting ready to have a baby. So we're getting ready to be first-time grandparents, and that could happen any time right now.
Excellent. Well, I certainly wish the best.
And congratulations. Preemptive congratulations.
I think we mentioned that back when we talked with you guys back in November. Dennis had mentioned that he was getting ready to be grandpa. And then
he's old. But
so
difference is
Dennis, you're about to be old too, Lyle.
No, that's what I was going to say. Difference is, Dennis, you are old. Lyle, you're still a kid at heart. And it shows. Dennis is just old.
Oh, no, he is.
Yeah, all right, that's my last stab. That is my last stab. I promise, Dennis, I promise.
Just remember, asshole, I work the board.
You work the board.
I know.
I'm over and over.
I'm waiting for the red to turn blue.
Yes, and that's when he gets muted, and all we hear is Matt talking about the lotion in the skin. But I will say this, though. I can't recall the last investigation that I went on where there was such a high propensity of stepping in a pile of cow shit.
Oh.
Well, That just kept it hilarious the whole night through.
Yeah.
We're up looking at the burial grounds, and the one young lady that was with us goes, "Well, I know there were some rocks up here," she said, that marked some of the graves, and she started to take her foot and kick one. And I went, no, that's cow shit. Oh, okay. And there was another large area that was actually a rock that looked like cow shit. So, yeah, it was a strange one. I've never had to do an investigation where I was dodging cow manure.
Yeah, where you were dodging cow poop.
Or having to listen to, now, most of the time that we were inside the building, I would have the H2 and I kept it on monitor. Well, I kept my earbuds in so I could monitor the whole time. The stink bugs, they sounded like the little mini radio control helicopters until they slapped into the window.
Yeah. That place was fun.
Yeah, I was dumbfounded by how many stink bugs were in that house.
Yeah. But you figure they don't, that house pretty much sits abandoned. I know they go up there and use it for family functions every now and then, but I think she told us that they were getting ready to rent it out. So whoever's coming got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I believe it was actually a family member that was going to be moving into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was really cool to be able to talk to the homeowner that's had, you know, three generations of family live on the property and give you so much history about it.
Right.
Typically in a residential investigation, you don't have that much history available to you without, you know, spending a shitload of time in, you know, the historical society for that area or just the library, you know, something. And this one, it was kind of neat. We actually had a family member that's had three generations in the home.
Yep.
So that, you know, that added a lot to it. Now, if you could look back over the whole investigation, would you change anything? Would you do something a little different?
From what all
approach it from a different manner or anything from what was done?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, the first time we learned back in January that when it was so cold, we set up everything inside the house. And that just was not a good thing because when you had people sitting in the kitchen, you know, you had the chance of getting contamination. So that's where this time we went back. We said, well, command's going to be set up outside. So that's why we took the canopies, which I think saved a lot of that contamination. So whoever was investigating inside, you know, unless you heard some people outside talking, but I think we took care of that as quickly as possible. But I think we did it the right way this time. Even though the first time, back when it was cold, you know, we got some great audio evidence that's come out of that place. This time, you know, I'm looking forward to getting through all my audio because I feel like we're going to have some good stuff as well, because I know that my first team that went in, they got some great audio evidence out of there, so I'm pretty sure we probably do too. Video-wise, I've looked through videos. I haven't really seen anything. I still got a couple videos to go through, but I haven't seen any video evidence in either investigation. But I don't think I would change anything. I think we've kind of got our routine down to where we know how to go in and cover a location. So, I don't think I would change anything.
Yeah, I think the way it was done, I think it was very well-executed investigation. You know, I definitely give you kudos on that aspect of it.
Thank you, buddy.
And, you know, it is the house was built in the 1760s. Anytime that you're in a house that old that's pretty much vacant, you know, the house noises and everything else, you know, everything travels.
Right.
So You know, and I think that, you know, setting up outside, I definitely think you did the right thing. Everybody was in radio contact to know what the hell was going on, who was doing what. Hey, shut up outside.
Yeah.
I think it was quite well executed. I do know that in the little bit of audio that I did get to listen to, I don't ever remember having to review audio and go, wait, what the hell was that? Oh, it's a cow. Never mind. I thought it was a groan.
You know what? I've gotten that a few times at Naomi's house. Because there's the active cow barn, and it's just far enough away that you listen to the audio and you go through it five times, you're like, oh, shit, that's a cow. No. No, is it? Listen to it five more times. That's not a groan. That's not a door creaking. No, that's a cow.
Yeah, that's Bessie. She's probably pushing out another cow Patty will have to dodge. But
I'm looking forward to our audio evidence from actually down at the slave graveyard because, you know, we heard some things down there that weren't cows. And so I'm kind of curious to see what comes out of that. At one point, I actually thought we caught I caught a voice while we were down in there. So I'm looking forward to that, to getting through it all. You know how evidence review goes; it takes a long time. You know, especially when you got full time jobs, stuff like that too. I try to fit it in at least an hour or two a night. Plus, maintain my website, Facebook page, do all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it usually takes me a couple weeks to get through everything.
Yeah, and Ryan from All Seeing was giving me shit because he's like, well, I'll come by and help you anytime you need. I'm like, you know, that might not be a bad idea, brother, because at this point, I'm backing up. I have two investigations now from St. Albans.
Right.
I have this one. And I said, yeah, I'm starting to get backed up. Now, St. Albans, I'm really asshole deep in there because I had four of my own recorders rolling around, plus video for almost 6 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot. Full attention.
Yeah, I've got nearly 30 hours of stuff from one investigation to review.
Right.
And not this past week, but last week when I went back to St. Albans, I know I've got another 5 or 6 hours on. I had at least three recorders running, unless there were a couple of areas where I kept getting screwed with. It was just brand new batteries, dead, 5 minutes. I know I went through 10 batteries in about 8 minutes' time when I first went up into. There's a little locked room upstairs that they say that whatever energy is behind that door is just mean as shit.
Right.
And I went in that room. I know I went through 10 batteries in the first 5-10 minutes maybe.
Wow.
And, you know, it was even telling me that my, you know, I've got 8 and 16 gig cards in my recorders. It was telling me they were full right off the bat. So then I'd go into the menu on the recorder to format it, and it would tell me bad card read. So I'd pull the card out, pop it back in, and tell me card read failure. Now, how the hell?
They play with your equipment there.
Oh, yeah, and they were doing it hot and heavy. I went through memory cards before I actually got one to function properly.
Let me interrupt you on the memory card thing. To play with equipment when it has to do with battery drain and stuff like that, I understand. But there's nothing that I've ever seen. I looked into it. Nobody's ever tested how a quote unquote spirit can max out a memory card.
Well, and that's the part that I couldn't understand. I took that.
It doesn't work off
memory card.
But it doesn't work off of magnetism. It doesn't work off of. It works off of a DPS, a digital processing system.
Yeah, well, that's just it. It wasn't the card. It was the recorder telling me the card was full, even though it wasn't. Because when I took that same exact card downstairs, plugged in, you know, that same card, that recorder worked just fine. But I have no idea. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, when I pulled out my H2 battery vial, did you see me pull the little yellow label off the face of it?
Off the H2?
Right.
No, I didn't see that.
Okay. Well, anytime that I go through and I download all the information off of the recorders and format my recorders, my memory cards, I take a little post-it note and I strip one portion off of it and I write formatted and the date. So I know that I formatted that one.
Right.
I did the same exact thing at St. Albans with, there were three different cards that I swapped through before I got one to function properly, and then the son of a bitch gave me dead battery warnings. Seriously? I just put new batteries in downstairs. But apparently, they really like the Duracell Extremes. They're kind of a higher priced battery, and apparently the spirit there really liked them. Because he was popping them like M&Ms. But,
oh,
you know,
I have something to add to that. battery drain. All right. I have, and this is at work, this is nothing to do with paranormal at all. I bought a brand new, well, let me ask you this first. Where'd you buy the batteries at?
CVS.
Okay. I
can say that definitively because I stopped on the way to St. Albans. Like, you go across the river.
Yeah,
and St. Albans is almost immediately on your left, and CVS is just on the other side of the river and about a block over. And that was the last place I stopped.
All right. I bought one of the 48 packs or something like that of batteries, the extended life ones at Home Depot that I use at work in my digital camera to take pictures of bikes, you know, take pictures of whatever. But they are running extremely, extremely, they're running out very, very fast. So I'll get maybe, out of long life, extended life batteries, whatever you want to call them, I'll get maybe 35 pictures, and I have to replace the batteries. So it's like I got a bad batch.
Yeah. That could be a possibility as well. You know, there's no guarantee how long they've sat on the shelf or in a warehouse before they got shipped. Or how
long the expiration is 2025.
Yeah, they're like 10 plus years or 15 years life on them.
Yeah. Well, I think what they mean by that is it'll still be a battery in 10, 15, 25 years.
It doesn't mean it has a charge.
Yeah, it's a battery. We told you it'll last 10 years. Look, here it is 10 years later. It's still a battery. Being a contractor by trade, I love when clients come out and they want to give their 2 cents on what materials I use. And I use $7 a tube caulk anytime that I do any exterior work or windows, doors. You know, if I'm setting a kitchen cabinet, you know, and I caulk in the countertop. Well, most of the caulk that I'm using tells me that it's, what the hell is it, 50-year guarantee or something. And they're like, well, that stuff will really last 50 years? I went, well, honestly, I think what it means is it's still going to be caulk in 50 years. It just ain't going to be stuck to shit by then. You have to replace this every couple of years. Well, why do they say 50 years? I don't know, because you'll buy more of it, I guess. I don't know. But it's still caulk. It just doesn't stick to anything anymore. I think batteries are the same way. They give you that long shelf life. They say that it's going to be a full charge, you know, fully usable in 10 years, but I totally disagree. But that is my two cents on it. I do have a good one for you. Since we're talking about batteries, I went to a local store that sells a little bit of everything. I won't give away their name, but it's something along the lines of, if you were a Yankee, you would go to this tool store. Get my hint? Anyway, they have these really nice plug-in rechargeable flashlights that are like, 230 lumens or something. Nice bright light. They had them on sale half price. It was $20. I'm like, oh, shit, man, that's perfect. I don't have to buy batteries anymore. Plug the flashlight in, it works. It had a car charger and a house charger. So it's got a little larger diameter than a AA battery inside of it, and it's about, two AA batteries in length. Tooling down the highway, I got it plugged in and sitting right down by the four-wheel drive shifter. I thought somebody had shot a round off inside my truck. It scared the living shit out of me. The battery exploded in the stupid thing. All right. It's only a week or two old, so I take it back and I exchange it. 2 days later, I'm tooling down the highway again. That damn thing went off again. I damn near hit the brakes. I would not have been good on I-95 to jam the brakes, but I thought somebody had shot me. Yeah. So needless to say, I won't be going back to this Yankee tool business anymore to buy flashlights or batteries. Just an interesting fact. When they go off, it sounds like a 22 round.
So, which, for none of you gun advocates out there, it's loud.
Yeah, especially in the cab of a truck. It scared the living shit out of me. So now
what you're saying is the area where your shifter on your truck or your four-wheel drive shifter on your truck and your floorboards are rotted out from two complete full batteries of battery acid has eaten through.
No. Fortunately, it stayed within the aluminum housing of the flashlight. Otherwise, I'd be totally pissed off. But the first one that blew up, my wife was in the truck with me. It scared her bad enough she dropped her phone. Just all of a sudden you hear like this. I don't even have anything in here I can hit loud enough to do it. But she's sitting over there. You know, of course, when you're in the passenger seat, pretty much all you do is text in a vehicle nowadays.
I was going to ask you, are you that bored? Are you that boring where you couldn't keep your wife occupied to stay off her phone?
Yes. Yes, I am. And now, remember that statement earlier? Oh, I promise.
Yeah, I'm done. Lyle, agree with me on this. Did he not open the door that wide that I had to step through?
You did. He did. Hey, mine does the same thing. Don't feel bad, Dennis.
Well, Lyle, are you that boring to where...
it just seems like everybody's attached to those phones anymore, you know? So... Yeah, we could be driving and going, driving, you know, 3 hours of investigation. She'll spend all the time on the phone, texting.
Yeah. Well, unless you have a, you know, a flashlight explode in the damn vehicle, and then she won't be texting because she'll be too busy trying to figure out where the TP is at so she can wipe.
That's correct.
Ooh, Dennis, this is what you do. Okay, and Lyle, you can do this too. On the right side or left side of the driver's seat, put a party popper where you just pull the string and the confetti comes out.
Oh.
Keep her on her toes. When you see her texting, you're like, oh, she's been texting the whole damn car ride. Pop! Scare the hell out of her.
I'm really that much, not that much for getting hit and bruised. I get enough of that on the investigations. I really don't need it in the vehicle ride.
Unless she's prone and one of those women who hits you with a shoe, then yeah, you don't want to do it on nights where it's date night and she's got, you know, heels or anything like that on. Yeah, that could be dangerous, but.
I do have a real strange one. Back to topic, real quick. Sunday after the investigation, Lyle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife went Sunday morning, being that it was Mother's Day, with her mother out to breakfast. Of course, I got home at 4 a.m. I was still asleep. They left at 7:30. When she got back, I got up. Got a cup of coffee, and she asked me, who bit me? What the hell are you talking about? I had what literally looked like a round mouth bite mark on my stomach.
Really?
I have no flipping clue where it came from. I can't think of any logical correlation, but it looked like there were teeth marks, and it was kind of bruised. I really wish I had taken pictures of it now, but
yeah, that would have been interesting. I don't ever remember you reacting to anything.
No, not, I don't. I mean, something like that. It would have definitely. I would have had to have felt some sensation from it.
I would, definitely.
Yeah, she asked me who bit me, and I just looked at her like she had just bumped her head. Like, I have no flipping clue. But it was definitely a strange one. I have no explanation for it. So from that location, has there been any scratching, biting, anything like that? I know people have been tapped.
Right. Not that I'm aware of, no. I know none of us have experienced anything. And as far as I know with the owner, they've never shared anything where anybody's been, physically, hit or bit or anything like that. So that's really weird, Dennis.
Yeah, if I had any logical reason for it, I'd certainly not have brought it up. But
right.
It made no sense to me. But hey, we do have another caller in here. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not, but Mr. George Lopez in the queue with us.
Hey, what's going on, guys? George, how are you?
Hey.
Doing good, brother.
What's going on, George? Long time no talk, man.
I know, man. I'm just all over the place lately, particularly on my couch, though, passed out. But I'm alive tonight, and you guys are doing the show. I thought I'd call in and say hey.
We definitely appreciate that, brother. You know, if you ease off that bottle a little bit, you could spend a little more time coherent versus passed out on the couch.
it's one of my favorite pastimes, and I try to utilize that opportunity as much as possible.
Yeah, Matt's the same way.
Yeah, on occasion.
Yeah, days that end in Y.
What's going on?
So, what's new in your world, George? How's life treating you, brother?
Well, life's treating me well. It's, you know, a little bit of a break between events right now with myself and my partner on Tuesday nights with the World Awakening Entry Repair, and we just recently came back from Chicago, our very first for both of us, our very first UFO convention, the StarWorks USA Symposium, and we are going to be heading to Atlanta. Actually, it's her backyard next month for Through the Veil, hosted by Michelle Griffin, and then continue on in July to Harrisville, Rhode Island. So, and I hate, I use this word deliberately, I hate flying. So we'll take the car, rent a car, whatever it takes for these drives. And it's actually been pretty beautiful. I've seen some great, great countryside over the last 3 or 4 months. And this will take us, I know we have events going on for July, August, September, and October, mostly over in the Eastern Seaboard area. But it's just, it's a really great opportunity to see some great countryside. And it's always something for me to be able to explore. I've always had that traveling bug, and this is being fulfilled tenfold this year. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey.
That's really awesome, except for the fact that I got to give you a little bit of shit, man. You were in my neck of the woods, and you didn't call me?
If you knew, between 12 hours driving and then right into these conventions back... dude, I mean, I barely had time to breathe, but I did squeeze in Chicago pizza. For the first time in my life, I had a Chicago pizza, and I just absolutely loved it. You just can't get that down here in Florida, man. Down here, it's, I don't know if it's the water, the dough because of the salt there, whatever it is, but nothing, I mean, nothing like this has ever passed through my lips, and it was just phenomenal cuisine. I will be back in Chicago again.
Hey, speaking of which, I'm not going to take up too much time talking about this, but off air, I'll hit you up about it at some point. Ghost Conference 6 is happening in November, run by Ursula Bielski, Willie Atkins, and I'm second year in a row and I'm helping her plan it. We already do have a decent amount of people booked. But there's always room for more. So you want to come back to Chicago, November after all the big, you know, like October, Halloween, that kind of stuff. Well, we're the third week in November. Dennis is going to be coming up and a bunch of other people. So if you want to come up for Ghost Conference 6, I know for a fact I can, I'll get you in and present, and we'll work out the details later if it's something you're interested in.
Yeah, send me you know, all the links, the information, everything to me on the Facebook, and I'll pass it along to Andrea. Also, it's her banquet, it's her dinner. I'm just you know, just trying to get a little bit of dessert off of it. You know, she's been on just this whirlwind tour since the books came out and the movie came out, and you know, we finished an interview just a little while ago, her and I, and you know, there's so many more things on the event horizon. We've not nailed anything down in November yet, so it's a perfect time to shoot that her way and see what she's got on the agenda. But I think it would be a wonderful thing for us to get back up there again.
Sweet, sweet.
Well, while you're back up that way, maybe you can schedule it around July. Nikki in chat, it's Nikki Skinner here. I'm sure you're familiar with her, George. She's wondering, though, is there anybody going to be at the Key Page benefit at Post-Town Elementary?
You know, I mean, it's almost one of those things where it's, I guess, one of those taboo locations. And you know, Keith Age, a wonderful individual that had contributed so much to this community. I think that it's an important aspect. It's the same thing next on July, this upcoming July, where we're going to be at the Ocean State Paracon, and it's a also a benefit event there that Ken DeCosta is holding, and I think those are important. I think they're incredibly important, and when people are getting involved as part of this community, part of that is giving back the contributions to it, and the information in regards to that, again, Nikki, you know, find me on Facebook, send me all the information each and every one of these are so critically important, and the more that we can get out there and anything that we can do to contribute to these benefits is, I guess, for us, a closer touch, getting in touch with God and feeling that we're, you know, contributing from the right perspective and not with selfish intention. So I would love to get that information from you, Nikki, if you get a chance, please. I appreciate it.
I don't know if you're friends with Nikki on Facebook or not. She sends you a big throbbing heart. And chat. But
well, I need somebody to start stalking me, damn it, you know?
Well, I have been.
Come on.
You just don't want to know what I've been gathering on you.
That'd be wonderful. If I'm not friends with Nikki already, I know that she'll send me a friend request there pretty damn quick. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, you put my Facebook message in there. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Wow, I see. George is in chat also. I don't miss a trick, brother. I try not to anyway. But
what's the topic tonight? Yeah. What are you guys talking about? Let's get into paranormal.
Well, we were just talking with Lyle Lotz. He runs Twisted Paranormal. I went on an investigation with him over the weekend at a 1760s plantation. It was just really interesting. So we were just talking about some of the, like, they did a experimental, well, hell, you tell them about it, Lotz, with the energy ball and everything.
We just decided to pull out a new thing for us just to try different things, and we pulled out the old plasma ball and put it in the middle of the room, and it filled the room with fog from a fog machine, and conducted a pretty good EVP session from there. And, you know, we didn't have anybody interact with the ball, but it was a very interesting experiment, probably something we'll be doing again. You know, it's a lot different than using your normal equipment that you go out with. So it was our first time using it, and I think it'll work eventually. But, you know, we're just still breaking it in and seeing how it works for our team. So, but it's nice to meet you, George.
Yeah, when you guys, you know, do these investigations, as I've done, residential cases are pretty much out the window for me at this point in time. And the only reason why is, the old saying, the scariest thing about ghost hunting are the living, and I just love these historically haunted locations, but such as when we went up to Pennhurst a month back, I thought of the fact that there was a lot of things going on there in regards to children. So I went to the local Walmart or Target, wherever I went to, and I picked up the old Operation game. And I actually left that with Nick Carlson and Tim Smith and let them keep it there. But the premise was just to set the wire on top of the game, and if the wire could be manipulated where it touched some of the metal areas of the game, the nose lights up, that it would be interesting for the kids to play with. So, you know, using the fog machine, trying different devices out there of interest and curiosity for the spirits to respond to, you always have to think outside the box. If you're doing the same redundant thing over and over again, you're just not going to expand the horizon for the possibilities of what could be captured out there as that holy grail of activity. So kudos to you, man, for thinking outside the box. That's wonderful.
Well, thanks. I think it was a great thing. And, you know, like I say, it was our first time using it, and I'm sure we'll do it again. We've got some different places we'll be going the rest of the year. And but, yeah, it was the first time, but it was really interesting.
And one of the coolest things was watching the metal just spike 10 feet away from that ball, so it was definitely throwing some energy in that room.
Right. Yeah, that melter with the rim pod built in, I mean, it wouldn't let you get within 10 feet of it before it did peg. So that thing, you know, it's almost, it could be almost like an EM pump, you know, filling that room full of a charge. So it might be something that you might want to just let that plasma ball run in the room for a good while before you even go in there and do something with it.
Yeah. just to give them plenty to draw from. It was definitely a neat little experiment.
Well, all right, George, for a lot of the, and I know you've done a lot of hospitals, you've done a lot of sanatoriums, you've done a lot of just, well, pretty much everywhere. This one that I have coming up, and I'm trying to get Dennis here for it, it's just going to depend on the logistics of it. But I have a hospital that has to remain nameless because the current owner does not want it out there. It's only been closed for 2 years. It was in function since the 1920s. They moved the location. They've had 15 or 17 people, if I remember right, of the construction workers that are setting up the demo that have walked off the location. My grandma worked there for 22 years. And actually have access to be able to go in and check it out. There's only 2 months before it's going to be torn down. So a dilapidated, a decrepit, sort of hospital, I think it has time to build up different energy than what something that has closed. I mean, if it closed in the past 2 years, and there's a morgue in there, there's, everything, a functioning hospital. What would be a course of action that you would take in a recently closed application like that?
It's a bittersweet, isn't it? You get an opportunity to go in a place that really hasn't been researched or investigated to try to collect samples of paranormal phenomena occurring, and then knowing that the demise is inevitable. And there's too many of the historically haunted buildings, the asylums, the Kirkbride-style buildings, that at one point in time, I believe there were something in the vicinity of 64, 65 of them. In the whole northeastern seaboard of the United States, there's now only 11, and that is diminishing also. You almost want to fight for its survival. If you were to go honestly into this place as an example, and I would saturate the property. I would get as much equipment as you possibly could and let that sucker run, and then I would review that evidence with a fine-tooth comb. And if you were to get some tremendous, tremendous activity, you never know what entrepreneur might be out there or somebody that will fight to save this property. If it's already a done deal and nothing can be done about it. But when you have true storytelling coming about through your evidence that there are still spirits there, that still reside there, there's now a human factor involved with it, even though it's in spirit form. But that could possibly salvage that scenario of having that place demolished. I mean, it's an absolute shame. Now, are there locations out there that do get demolished and yet the activity continues? Absolutely. But it's not the same as having that controlled or semi-controlled environment of those encased rooms that you could actually remove all contamination, all false positives. When you're out in the elements, it's a whole different story. But I would definitely oversaturate that place as much as you can with equipment and let it run for as long as humanly possible. It's just an absolute shame that it's got a terminal time frame before it's gone. But you never know what could happen in the long run of it. I mean, you look at Rolling Hills Asylum and how it changed hands about 5 years ago now, with Sharon Coyle taking it over. And she's done such a tremendous job restoring that place and bringing it to the forefront again. And I've been there on several occasions and have seen some of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Hopefully the first and last time I've ever seen a shadow creeper. I don't ever want to see that again. There are things out there that we still can't understand, still can't explain. And as these buildings get torn down, it removes that opportunity, that chance again to document something that may just excel this field to a degree that it's never been before. So I wish you the best of luck on that and hope that you can capture that Holy Grail and may just save that particular edifice, that building. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was purchased by a multi-billion-dollar real estate mogul that my boss knows, and the construction workers that have walked off the scene, I mean, 15, 17 of hundreds that are setting it up for demolition, and they're going to be building private homes there. So if, in fact, that energy still sticks around to that property, I might be getting calls about private residences that they don't know what the hell is going on because they bought new construction. I don't know, but not mine.
It'll definitely happen. It'll definitely happen. You know, Andrea talks about the fact that the farm that her and her family lived in and grew up in the 1970s, that, you know, that property was 200 acres to start with, and, of course, portions of that, acres of that, were sold off to other farms or to other homes, and homes were built on that property. And the people are saying, you know, well, my home is only 30 years old or my home is only 20 years old. How could I possibly have some type of paranormal activity in my home? What's the property that it rests upon? It was Native American property. There were, you know, again, you're talking about all the different battles that had gone on during the Revolutionary War, the War of Independence, the Civil War, and slave trading, all the different things that transpired. Hundreds of years, literally, that there were things that transpired. Just because you build a new home on top of it doesn't mean that the land lies dormant. There's always going to be some sort of a stirring. And when they tear this particular building down, you're going to get a chance to investigate and put up these apartments or condominiums or homes. I guarantee you, people are going to have activity going on there. If you're the local paranormal team in that vicinity, yeah, I would expect those calls, buddy.
Yeah, it's only like 15 minutes from my house. So, and my grandma actually lives like 4.5 minutes from where the location is. And like I said, she worked there for, you know, decades. So she knows the place inside and out.
That's another part to consider, though, too. Something that's been a buzz in the community that, you know, I think at this point in time we need to pay attention to. Certain investigators out there have been using all kinds of different monitoring equipment regarding energy fields, not just necessarily, you know, doing audio recording and photography and videography, but they're bringing out meters to measure the levels of energy that are emulating from locations. And one of the devices that some of the investigators are using relates to measuring high levels of radioactivity in the form of gamma radiation. Now, we always get bombarded by that, by the sun and by the elements and even by the earth, but the levels that are coming through when a portal is opened or when paranormal events are occurring is life-threatening to the point where there is the potential possibility of skin cancer, bone cancer, organ cancer. And if you've been paying attention in the last 5 years or so in this field, there have been a lot of people who have been diagnosed as paranormal investigators with cancer, inexplicably. And the same circumstance will go for residential cases. And consider the people out there who have never made the connection to what's going on in their home, or they've never paid attention, or they ignore some of the spirit phenomena occurring in their home, and yet for some reason their family is being diagnosed with cancer that's never been in the lineage of their family before. And all of a sudden they're picking up and having cancer in their family, in that household. So that may be one of the things, as you're 15 minutes away from these houses being built, it may not be an overnight thing. It may be decades in some cases before people are starting to be so bombarded by these gamma radiation rays that come across that may have attributed cancer along the way. So keep an eye open for that, guys, as well. I mean, when you're talking to your residential cases or you're talking to other investigators and they know somebody in this field that all of a sudden is battling cancer in one way, shape, or form, and you ask them about, you know, how much time are they spending in some of these buildings, my biggest concern, again, are those who work as volunteers in these historically haunted locations and are there day in and day out, I think the danger, the risk is certainly involved. And what's interesting is you can go to, I think, eBay or Amazon, and there are meters out there that are about $120, $130, but will tell you your levels of gamma radiation that come across. So it's pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's things that the data recorders don't pick up. And, it's been a huge thing within new construction of putting in meters that the radon meters and all that stuff. Well, radon is a form of radiation, obviously, hence it's in the name. And, George, what you're talking about, too, is when you get bombarded by the sun, what do you think the northern, southern, and middle lights come from? It's all radiation from the sun.
Correct. Correct. So, I mean, there's, again, a... just a concentrated bombardment of these rays. And, you're right, that there has to be specific equipment. These are basically Geiger counters, but they're now electronic out there, thank goodness, rather than getting those big devices that you've seen in the old movies about radiation after World War II or by nuclear explosion. So in this particular case, it's much more subtle, but it's consistent. And if your exposure, it's no different than we talk about with a fear cage or high radiation or high energy levels coming from wiring in a home, that you can get skin irritations and dizziness and nausea, vomiting, things of that nature. Now you can imagine the gamma radiation bombardment going on, what it's doing at a cellular level to you. And these are the things you need to be concerned about. We should all be concerned about. And it's something we've discussed on many an occasion and something we're looking at.
I did a home recently. It was a 16,000 square foot mansion in a suburb, south suburb of Chicago. And I did not, like, the lowest reading I got on just my regular field EMF meter was an 8.0. The average in the house was a 17.9. And that's just EMF.
Yeah, yeah. Dangerous, that was dangerous the level.
It was like walking through the, what room is that? That was the foyer that led into the sitting room. It was an 89.4. Just before the meter spiked out. That was just walking through. It hit 89.4. I never had like a 0.1, 0.2. Anywhere in the whole house in a 16,000 square foot home.
Yeah, that's a giant fear cage. It's a very dangerous environment, element wise, to live in. I've had residential cases like that, and I've pointed it out. And the funny part, when I pointed out a CD player or a baby monitor or just an electrical outlet that was just spiking in the 90s, sometimes triple digits. And I said, this is your problem right here, and are you noticing extremely high Florida Power and Light bills, electric bills? And they said, yeah, but we could not figure it out. I said, this is your problem. The wiring has become so frayed, and it's such an old item that's been plugged into your electricity that it's just drawing out that energy and throwing it into the air. And at that point in time, would either unplug it or replace it or have FPNL come in and fix the wiring. But these are things that need to be adjusted and paid attention to more often than people think of. The energy fields are the dangerous part of this community, whether it's gamma or whether it's just the electrical impulses that come out from devices that are in a home. And that's a perfect example of what you talked about just there.
One of the points that you brought up, George, and finally... One of the points that you brought up, that the energy is still going to be there no matter what you do to the buildings, is spot on. I was helping do a remodel for, and you'll get a chuckle out of this, Department of Homeland Security took over a building, well, number of buildings, that made up St. Elizabeth's Hospital up in D.C. In doing the initial demolition and everything, they had electricians that would walk off the job and everything else. Well, the one building that I'm working in is going to be turned into the kitchen on the lower level, on the dining room on the second level. It's Christmas Eve. I was watching putting in floor tile. I know nobody else was working on the site that day other than security. And I actually had a full-bodied apparition walk past me and about 5 feet away. Black briefcase, black coat, fedora, no more than 5 feet away from me.
That wasn't an apparition, dude. That was Men in Black. You better watch yourself.
No, seriously. This wasn't, brother. I know what it was, because as soon as it went out the door, about 3 or 4 feet away from where I saw it, I was out the door right behind it. There wasn't nobody around, and they had at least 50 feet in any direction to go. But it was the freakiest damn thing I'd ever seen. Hard-soled shoes sounded like older dress shoes, the old square-toed wingtips. Yeah, I mean, that energy is going to be there no matter what you do to the building. The ground, I think, is what they familiarize themselves with most.
You got to get yourself one of those POV glasses that when you have something like that directly in front of you, you get that damn thing running.
Yeah, that's what I need, those full-spectrum shades.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, having Andrea in chat, what George is discussing has made me wonder what my family was exposed to do during our 10 years at the farm. It's a very good likelihood. There's so many different types of radiation that, you know, we're only looking for one type of magnetic disturbance at this point for the majority of the field anyway when we go on investigations. But the gamma and everything else is a very valid point.
If Andrea was to describe to you the different ailments that her and her sisters and her mother and her father had to contend with, a good portion of them have had some sort of a cancer-related illness started off during that time that they were in the farm. I mean, it, an absolute bombardment, as she just posted, thyroid issues that had gone on. And, with that kind of exposure, and we're talking about 10 years and a multitude of different phenomena that were going on in that place, from everything from elementals to ancient spiritual Native American to the existence of those spirits that lived in that home prior and on those 200 acres prior. Even you said her mom had battled with cancer in that same circumstance. So you wonder again, all these people that are going out there and doing this. I mean, we're really talking way beyond the scope of just being investigators here, because if this, and those investigators who have been measuring these gamma radiations, and I said, well, how can we get more information about this, or how can we bring this to the forefront of the community? And her answer was more teams also measuring this. The more that we can measure this, the more we understand. But when you look at the bigger picture of this, more than anything else, is that when we get to the point of people who are not even remotely interested in the paranormal community and are yet dealing with unexplained cancer issues, unexplained thyroid issues, that they could, from a legality standpoint, have the right and the capability to take their landlord to court or to the real estate agent court and be able to get the house because it was dangerous to them. Did I lose you guys?
No, we're here.
Breaking up on us.
You're right. You guys are.
The location that we just did over the weekend, I went on as a tag-along investigator, Kyle and his group, Twisted Paranormal. It was a 600-acre farm, but three generations of the homeowner, her previous three generations had been on the property. So it makes me wonder, and there was a shitload of stuff going on there. we had one area, but I'll give you a brief description on it. It was thought to have been...
What? Hold on, Dennis, I'm sorry to stop you. What's all the feedback? Mute the last one again. We'll see if this stops.
Yeah, that's what I just did. That was the last one that I opened. But, all right. What I was saying was we had one area, and George, maybe you can make some sense out of it. There were one, two, three, four, five of us. I noticed it first. When I stepped into about this 10-foot by 10-foot area, I got kind of dizzy, a little lightheaded, stepped back out of that 10 by 10 area approximate, called two others in and didn't tell them anything other than step over here and tell me what you know, if you notice anything different. Both of them agreed that, you know, just stepping into it, the first one made it about where I was at, stopped and looked back at me with a puzzled look and said, it feels like a void, like I feel like I'm high, actually. And the other one concurred that that's the same thing that she was going to say. Then I called in Lyle and Ike, didn't tell them anything, and they had the same feelings in that area. Do you suppose that could be from a portal, perhaps one of the high gamma shot areas?
It's forced, unfortunately, in this field. A lot of what we do is forced speculation. Could it be? Should it be? Would it be? We don't know. You know, I just typed in the chat room. Could it be Satan? You know, we don't know why things still happen the way we do. That's the important part of just, so much of a saturation of a location and getting the evidence, collecting it, finding out, measuring the high EMF levels. Now at this point, gamma radiation levels. Those who are in science in this community have come to the conclusion that we always talk about, or we used to talk about, the fact that what we feel when we have the goosebumps and the hair stand up on our arms, or the chill on the back of our neck, when there is a barometric pressure change, when there is an EMF spike, that it's all due to the manifestation of a spirit that is gathering energy to manifest. By science, it's impossible, or near to it, just to manifest a ball of mass the size of a tennis ball would take miles and miles and miles of energy. So it's more probable that what we are encountering when we're doing these investigations is the opening of a portal or a vortex. There's Thomas Fusco's research talks about the fact of what he's looked at researching the universe in what we consider to be a black hole or an opening in space. And that is a massive, massive, massive creation, that there are smaller ones that also occur and manifest. And it's invisible to the human eye, but it allows that doorway for us, a time portal, if you will. And that's when these physical anomalies are occurring. This is where we are talking about the doorway, and you're looking at a spirit, and a spirit acknowledges and looks back at you from their time frame. If you remember an episode of Ghost Hunters where Jason and Grant were at Mount Washington speaking to a princess, and she says, I hear you, where are you? It's almost as if that the audible part of it or the auditory part of it was working through that vortex, but still could not visibly see this individual that was still in existence in their time frame. But it's a much more of a plausible explanation of why we get the feelings that we get in these locations, because these vortexes are opening versus a spirit manifestation. And this is something that, again, we're trying to talk about and try to get the word out there more so with all the different shows that are out there. You guys, ourselves, if we can get more people involved and looking at it from that perspective, maybe we can just get enough people on board to find that answer as they're investigating and get a more tangible bit of evidence showing that this is what is transpiring, that is a vortex or a window opening up and not necessarily a spirit trying to turn into a full form, full body apparition by manifesting. It's actually looking through a window and seeing them that way.
Yeah. I know that David Roundtree is doing a lot of research, trying his best to move us forward in discovering and explaining wormholes. So I definitely follow David and hope that, you know, he can provide us with some information eventually. He's a very brilliant mind.
Yeah, very much so. I agree.
Now, Lyle, I think the next time that we go out to the farm, we need to take half a dozen Geiger counters.
Yeah.
Now, I've got some friends in the military. Maybe we can just get them to, you know, escort us.
That's correct. We know where we want to go, that's for sure.
Yeah, no shit, that one area, because it was the strangest thing.
Never felt a charge like that on any investigation.
Yeah.
That was coming from the ground up through my body, so it was weird.
And to be able to have five different people document feeling the same way without, you know, when you would bring in somebody else and not tell them what you actually feel, that was the really strange part, and it was in that same area for everybody. But, you know, I'm going to step back the conversation for a moment. Matt had mentioned getting me to Chicago, and, you know, Lyle, you mentioned in chat that if I need a shotgun to go with me, by all means, you'll tag along. I'm going to throw a general out here. If anybody wants to, can find it in their heart to pay my way to Chicago, I will take you on the investigation with us, won't we, Matt?
Oh, hell yeah.
So get in touch with CPR Dennis at Facebook and let me know which airline you're booking me on, and you can go along.
Hey, also we have JB Stop Facebooking. have my dear friend Katie with us. Katie, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing all right. We have Dennis, George, and Lyle with us.
Now, you guys keep talking about, like, shadows and the electronic, what is it, the EVF or whatever, electronic fields. Have you guys seen anything move, like items? Because that's all I see. Because, like, I actually, there's a place I worked in Downers Grove. I worked with a, she's a psychic medium and a Reiki master, but she worked the front desk at a chiropractic office in Downers Grove, and it was a very, very active place. Like, she'd be sitting at the front desk, and constantly the drawers, like, you'd be sitting up front, and they'd knock you in the knee, and she'd just be like, yeah, it's the person who came in with, you know, one of the clients. She's like, they come in all day long, just knocking, and I sit next to her, and they would just knock me in the knee. And then we'd see items move, doors would just open. I got to the point I got annoyed. Like, I've just seen so much stuff, because, like, being a massage therapist, we're very sensitive. So when you're in a massage, you're very open to energy. And it's become actually more of a common thing where I see things when I'm doing massages, lights, shadows, all that. But the best one was I worked at a chiropractic office in Elmhurst. Now, this was not a part of the land. This was actually, my psychic friend told me it was a friend of mine who passed who was following me. But I was sitting and I was working on this guy's neck. I was looking to the left, and then out of the corner of my eye, we've been sitting there for 10 minutes. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see like a shirt go from a dead stop to somebody like hit it. Like it was swinging. There was no air movement in the room. I'd worked there for a year. Nothing had ever happened before. There was no air conditioning. There was no heating. There was no nothing. And I've just seen stuff like, and ever since then, I've just continually seen things move. I've seen, it's just insane. You see, you know, I see shadows too, but just when I worked at that Downers Grove office, that thing just got really active. I don't know if you guys have seen things move or just the shadows.
Yeah. I've seen, well, I've had both. I've seen things move and I've seen shadows. So it kind of works both ways.
Oh, you sound horrible, dude.
Yeah,
that's my phone service.
That's what I was thinking as well.
George,
you want to feel that first?
I'll pull this first while you guys are dealing with that technical part. I will tell you this, that I've seen things that unfortunately I have to chalk up as a ghost story because I did not capture it on film. If there's a consistency, such as this particular place you're talking about, that has things going on a regular basis, everybody out there today has smartphones. Why it's not being recorded and then posted, because that's a great, great piece of evidence for people to see on a regular basis. But people have a ton of ghost stories, and then we've asked, and I've asked this even on my show, did you capture it on film? Oh, no, I didn't have the camera out, the equipment malfunctioned, there's a million different stories, and then it just becomes a ghost story. That's frustrating for us in the paranormal community.
I think I figured out what it's, Katie, I'm not going to text you. Do you have the, are you listening on your computer as well as on the phone?
Nope, I'm just on my phone.
So who the hell has the computer volume up? I'm trying to figure out where the feedback's coming from.
Oh, it's probably my phone. My phone's a piece of crap.
And it wouldn't be the first time the spirit's doing with us either.
Well, Dennis's phone is a piece of crap also, because all of a sudden you became very distorted.
Nothing has changed.
Or Blog Talk.
Well, put her on mute for a second and keep talking, and if it still is an echo, then we know it's not her. It's process of elimination.
All right, let's see if that makes any difference in mine.
No echo.
Yeah.
Am I clear? Uh-oh. So there's something with the connection when I bring Katie back in.
Don't worry about bringing me back in.
Muted, asked, and it sounded fine. I unmute her, and we go back to this.
Well,
feeling that I'm supposed to do for Katie.
Yeah, just take it off. It's fine.
She says there's nothing going on in her house right now, but this is like having
I'll talk to Katie in a moment. I've got her on mute so she can listen to the program still. There's the only other time that this happened with Lyle when he was on our program a couple of months ago, and I had to pass a message on to him.
It happened to Tracy Ray also. Every time Tracy Ray, except for the last time, but every time Tracy's on our program, it's always issues. Every time Chelsea was on, it was always issues.
Yes, it's an energy factor. I can almost guarantee what's up. But at any rate, what I was getting at was, if we do, let's pull out the Geiger counters, let's pull out anything and everything we can. Most things are rentable at, like Home Depot or somewhere like that. So it certainly wouldn't be a bad idea to see what we could do. And Andrea, you could be right. It could be the spook screwing with our signals. Now, I forgot what the hell I was going to say. God, I love this old age. It's so much fun.
It's like doing a radio show with a female guy. What? What are we doing right now? Yeah, I don't know. How's Billy?
Yeah, Billy? Who's Billy? But what, on a large scale area, George, what do you have in mind as far as being able to scan the environment around? Now, let's take the hospital that Matt was referencing. How would you recommend, you know, obviously we don't have the money to go out and buy a shit ton of Geiger counters and things like that. What do you have for ideas?
Oh, if you can't oversaturate, if you don't have the opportunity to pick up, I would say anywhere from 3 to 5 decent recorders, 5 being, a good amount. Video cameras, if you don't have a DVR surveillance system, if you don't have the opportunity or the amount of team members who can all go in there, each with their own devices as well, then it's mobility. Mobility has to be the key to it. One of the things that as I'm working with Andrea and teaching her this side of the field, rather than being a client as she was with her family in the 70s with Ed and Lorraine Warren and Keith and Carl Johnson, being an investigator now, she's got several great locations under her belt, including at Gettysburg, at the Eisenhower Farm, Pennhurst Asylum, the Oscar Swan Bed and Breakfast. We've got a few more on the schedule for her to get an opportunity to go and investigate. The key part of it is just kind of not thinking while you're doing that investigation. I think too many investigators overthink, and when that boredom kicks in, they start oversaturating, over-talking, and ruin the experience. That's the one thing that's amazing about the female investigator. The women that are in this field love the journey. Men are goal-oriented, so we're always looking for the evidence. We want it quick. We want it done. We want to be able to review it and post it and move on to the next thing, where a lot of the female investigators, they just go on intuition as they're walking through the hallways and trying to pick up so much of what is transpiring as it's happening. I think that mobility in a place of that size, going with that and just letting your own instincts just roam free. You know, you get to a T-shaped end of a hallway. You know, are you going to go left or right? And just go by that feeling of which way that the building, let the building take you, so to speak. Let the spirits guide you to an area. And then when you find a spot that you feel, I need to stop here and start asking questions, it's the best way to go about it. And that helps to develop the intuitive part of an investigator. We always talk about the best piece of equipment is ourselves, but we do not utilize it enough. We always rely on this equipment. But a combination of both, I feel like this is the place to be. Okay, now I took some pictures. I got some shadow movement. I've got, maybe some light anomalies. Now I'm going to run the recorder. And now I'm getting some EVPs along. That's called compounding. So you can be in an area, and it helps to validate that you're going in the right direction and you're trusting in your instincts, and then you can back that up with the evidence of the equipment. That's the best way I would recommend when you're doing a place of that magnitude.
Yeah, we definitely have plenty of equipment to roll back in. I've got, God, I know I have 7 digital recorders myself, so that's not a problem. I know Matt's got a half a dozen. I believe he's got a 16-channel DVR.
I have a 16, I have an 8, and I have a 4. I also have, well, now I'm in the upwards of 20-plus recorders plus a whole bunch of other crap, half of which I don't use, like parabolic mic. No, that never comes with me anymore. Like, there's so much stuff that I bought recently that, or not recently, just throughout my career. Some stuff I use, which is like a dinosaur thing, and it works great. Some stuff, new age, spend a lot of money on it. Yeah, it's for shit, throw it away.
Yeah, well, we all, you know, there's always that new piece that you want to try and see what you can do with it. And yeah, a lot of times you end up looking at it going, that's a hell of a good paperweight. Not worth a damn for a paranormal investigative tool, but it's a damn good paperweight.
Yeah.
But let me do this. Let's see, we have 5 minutes left. Lyle, go ahead and throw the plugs out for Team Twisted.
All right, yeah, you can check out everything we've done at TwistedParanormalSociety.com. Check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/TwistedParanormalSociety. We're going to be, next month we'll be at the Exchange Hotel in Gordonsville, Virginia. August we'll be at the Haldeman Mansion in right outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We're going to be at Scarefest, of course, in Lexington, Kentucky in September. And then we're heading to the Battleship North Carolina in October. All of that we're doing our filming for our Twisted Realm episodes that we do for our YouTube channel. So that's kind of what we got going on.
Excellent. I definitely appreciate you joining us tonight, and I
buddy,
definitely
want
to get in touch with you.
And I appreciate you having me on again.
Oh, man, that's always fun. Always fun. But I'll definitely get in touch with you this week. We'll talk about the other issue that we've discovered and see where that leads.
Okay, buddy. No problem.
All right, brother. You take care, man. Thanks a lot, Lyle.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And, George, before we roll into archive, would you like to throw your plugs out there, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always get a chance to catch Andrea and myself on Tuesday nights of World Awakening. You can find us on Facebook, and then just go from there, Facebook.com/World Awakening. And we've got some phenomenal upcoming events. We're going to be attending Through the Veil in Atlanta, Georgia, next month at the beginning of June. That's going to be the 6th and 7th, if I'm not mistaken. Andrea can correct me in the chat room. And then in July, we'll be attending the Ocean State Paracon, hosted by Ken DaCosta and Rise Up Paranormal. It's a charity event and for autism. It's $5 at the door. John Zaffis, Joe Chin, Keith and Carl Johnson, an incredible array of people are going to be there. And if you get a chance to get up there, it's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal event. Some great speakers, great presentations, and we're going to have a phenomenal time. And we've got so much more on the way throughout the summer and the fall. So we've got a lot to cover. And don't forget also Andrea's third book, House of Darkness, House of Light, Volume 3, will be out very, very shortly for those who are listening who are big fans of the books and you know, love the movie and have gotten a chance to read these. This is something that they definitely want to have in their library.
All right. I definitely want to thank everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, Lyle. Lyle's also got, they'll also be at the event. It's a haunting at St. Albans. That's coming up August 9th. But thank you, George. Stick around. We've got more in the archive, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're not dialed in, if you're dialed in, you can listen to us in the archive. It's 323-580-5703. Again, it's 323-580-5703. There's no telling how long us loudmouth chatterboxes are going to keep this conversation rolling. We've gotten into some fantastic points. But for Matt and myself, if you want to catch up with us, you can find us at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, both at Facebook and Twitter. You can also catch us at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers at .com and Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. We have about a minute left of live, but you can catch us in archive. Follow the same link that got you here to listen to us, and you'll be able to catch everything after this. So I'm going to try an experiment after we actually hit archive, and I'm going to bring Katie back on live with us, and let's see if the spirits want to spree with us a little bit more. I think Nikki was right, and I think Lyle was right. Lyle says that he thinks I brought a hitchhiker back with me from the investigation over the weekend. I usually do. It's a bad habit. But they get tired because they can't do anything to me or for me or with me, so they usually just go.
One Dennis, and you know this one. They mess with, 10 seconds. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening to Full Spectrum Radio. I appreciate it. Check us out next week. Same place, same time. CPR Dennis, CPR Matt, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
And we're in archive, and we drop George. Well, damn it, George.
Uh-oh. Or he hung up.
Katie.
What in the hell? We got Katie then. Katie, you were always causing trouble.
I'm sorry.
George and Lyle dropped out. They're not going to continue into archive with you.
Did I scare them away?
No.
I don't know. Just kidding. It wasn't you, darling. Everybody, nobody understood that we're going to carry this on into archive.
Why? Why does she have so much feedback? She's not on the computer.
Before I got on the phone with you, I was on the phone with my mom, and she said, I'm so sick of the feedback when I talk to you. But it's only when I call from this one place on the couch, so I don't know. I'm moving around. Is it getting better?
Yeah, that's actually better.
If I actually get better.
Huh.
Are you on speaker?
No. But you want to know what's funny, though? That is the place on the couch that I'm always sitting when things happen in my house. So maybe I'm just loony.
No, hey, I asked if you wanted me to come over. It's like a 35 minute drive. It's not that bad.
Is my phone better?
Yes.
It's just that place on the couch. That's the place we sit on the couch when everything happens. It's funny.
I told you, Matt. The energy is strong with this one.
Watch out.
No, it's... Dennis, is this a conversation you want to have on air or off air?
I'd rather do it off air. Yeah, I do. We won't do this on air. I don't like throwing people under the bus like that unless I know them.
I'm not much for talking, much less live to people. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything to do with, we'll finish here, bro.
Now you're breaking up.
Yeah, only when you come on air. So, all right. We're going to do this. We're going to end the show, and then, Katie, I'm going to call you and bring Dennis in. He's going to tell you what he has to tell you, and like I text you, trust me in what he said.
So who is Dennis? Why should I trust him? Is he a psychic?
No, no, he's... He's not the person you have the LED sign in front of the house. So, no, he's CPR Dennis. He's in Richmond. No.
No, I don't advertise that I have abilities. Matt, give her an idea of what I can do.
Oh, I don't know.
that. Dennis has done a bunch of stuff for me as far as remote viewing. He's in Richmond, Virginia. He is spot on, I'd say, in 95% of what he does. If he's going to, like, if you were to do a remote view on your house, he can walk you through what the layout of your house is. That he's, yeah.
So you're a medium more than psychic. More of a medium?
He doesn't know what he is.
Yeah, really, I don't.
Sometimes so you're sensitive to spirits. You're not sensitive to, say, like, somebody comes in and you're like, oh, your grandma's with you or something like that.
That's what we need to talk about.
My grandma.
I can get spirit to interact with me, and I can tell when spirit is around somebody or at a location.
Okay.
So far, I've read for Matt with 3-4 locations.
Yeah.
And I've given him direct information about what spirit is and where and how. And he will have, he gets EVP information back that confirms that.
Okay.
So I also did a remote view for Lyle, who was on with us tonight. I told him what energy so clear in the top that he was just at, that he actually invited me on.
Okay.
I've done it for Christina Rake. Yeah, there's a lot of things I can do. It's kind of weird and dumbass now.
Then can you tell me who it is at my house?
I have a
Without
real good idea.
Who is it?
I don't have a name, but I see rather tall. He's probably 6'3", 6'4". I see dark hair. I was kind of a sunken in the face, high cheekbones. Thin individual, and I get grandfather or something along those lines.
Oh. Okay, so you don't have any names or anything?
The first thing that came to my mind was James, but I'm not certain on it.
Keep going. You're warm.
Yeah, well, I can't get 100% on everything, but I can lead you in the right direction. I'm not sure if it's actual grandfather. I get kind of a difference off of that, but it was like somebody that filled that role. I don't know if it was like a step or something like that. I can't really tell. I tend to avoid their grandfather to what he actually was. But he
Uncle?
Filled that role.
Uncle? But both my grandpas are still alive.
Well, I'm not sure.
I have an uncle who passed away last July. Yeah, my Uncle John.
Okay, well, maybe that's him. I was getting that it was grandfather.
Both men are still alive, surprisingly.
Okay. Well, it very well could be.
I had a young friend who's followed me around a lot, and his name is Bobby. He passed when he was 25. He's tall, skinny, and all that, too. But John would be the only tall, skinny, unless it was my Uncle Jerry, who is my, that might be.
He has a very deep, gruff voice.
Hey.
A deep voice. I'll give him that.
It's probably my Uncle Jerry because he'd be closer to like a grandfather figure to me.
Okay.
He passed away. I had three of them passed away last year.
Hey, Dennis, let's try this. Let me Let's end the show. Let's see if it comes through clearer on just a phone call.
Yeah, just straight up talking.
Yeah.
I'll come through clearer if I not hype myself up on, I'm a dumbass, dude. Me and the Keurig played again. And then I turn around and sat here for the show and I drank two Cokes. So, yeah, I'm all hyped up on caffeine now. Usually, for me to do this fast, I'm all hyped up on Bud Light.
We'll go get some Bud Light.
Yeah, that'll probably be next.
Stay tuned.
Dennis, you want to call, sign us out, and then I'll make some phone calls and merge everybody.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let me get us a song lined up here, and I will close us out. So, ladies and gentlemen, this will end another wonderful Grange episode. Katie, I'm going to go ahead and mute you just because of the feedback, sweetheart.
Okay.
We'll talk very shortly.
Okay.
All right, bye. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that ends another episode of Full Spectrum Radio. CPR Matt, CPR Dennis. You can find us on Facebook under that name and Twitter. You can also find us at ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com and Facebook as well. Make sure to go into Facebook, find Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers. Give our page a like, folks. We're pretty decent guys. But I'm going to play you a song. We'll look forward to seeing everybody back here next week, same time, same place. Thanks for joining us tonight.
One, two, three, four. Oh, you are